Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
For the time allotted before us, I want you to open to page number 1 in your Bible. This is one of the few lessons where I can say that, and it would be applicable, dear friends, I believe, to everyone. I want to talk about in the beginning. Let's talk about the very beginning, shall we? The book of Genesis gets its name because Genesis means a new beginning, if you will, the start of something. So it's only fitting then that by inspiration, the first book, when you open the Bible to page number 1, is about the beginning of the earth, of time, of everything that we know and we hold dear to our lives here on this earth. The book of Genesis is laid out very interesting, if you will. The first 11 chapters has often been called the preface to the Bible. It's kind of the introductory remarks, because at the end of chapter 11, we're introduced to a man named Abraham. And after we're introduced to Abraham, the Bible's just telling this story, and then it juts off in this direction, and we follow the life of Abraham for the last 100 years or so, and that leads you up through chapter 25. And then the last half of the book, you deal with Jacob and his son Joseph getting into the land of Egypt. And then Exodus picks up with leaving Egypt. Of course, some time happens between those two, but Moses is your author. But I love the first handful of chapters of the Bible because it has the stories that we love in VBS, yet it also has stories that are applicable to you and I today, dear friends. I want to share with you 5 things you can learn from the first 4 chapters of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And for time's sake, we will not read the entirety of these chapters at the present, but they're always a good one to study. So what is our first thing we learn? Look at chapter 1 and verse number 1. Number one thing I learn is that evolution is a lie. Evolution is a lie. Evolution being the theory that man just kind of happened, that there was a big bang, if you will, and all of a sudden these atoms, these particles in space, they just started to form planets that eventually, over millions of years' time, formed an earth and eventually formed creatures that walked upon out of the sea and on land and eventually lost a tail, then they look like us. Yet look, Genesis 1:1, that tells me evolution is a lie. Why? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It did not just accidentally happen. It was not an accident, a forethought. God created the heaven and the earth. God is the creator. That tells me for something to be created, there has to be a creator. Just like for a car had to be created. Cars don't just exist. Houses just don't exist. They were created by someone or a group of people. God created the heaven and the earth. That tells me evolution, dear friends, is a lie. Those that want to believe in the Big Bang theory, God said it and bang, it happened. That's what happened, right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he said this and said that, and at the end of every day, he said it was good. At the end of 6 days, he says it was very good. God spoke the world into existence. He created everything. Evolution, dear friends, is a lie. Nothing about evolution could be true, at least the theory that the world wants you to hold on to, that we just came from nothing, as it were. God created us. That's the first thing that I learn in the first verse of the Bible. Second thing, flip over on my Bible, it's page 2, because my font's bigger than some. Look at verse 27. Number two thing that I learned from the first 4 chapters of the Bible is that there are only 2 genders. There are only 2 genders. Notice this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. It's not a multiple choice test. God doesn't give you an answer of a drop down menu of 12 different options. He created the male and he created them female. And some of you are looking at me going, well, I knew that. Yes, we study through the Bible. We know that. Yet, dear friends, there are a lot of people in the world who have that one confused. They will take such a simple teaching on page 2 in the Bible and they get it all confused. God knows what He is doing. At the end of every day, when God saw that it was good, and when God saw after those first 6 days of creation, then resting upon the seventh, that it was very good, that means that God knows what He's doing. He is pleased with what He's made, and He didn't mean to make more genders and forgot. There's two, male and female. Once again, something that the world will not like to hear. And I say to that, I love you, but tough, because God's going to be the judge at the last day, not the world, thank goodness. So I learned from chapter 1 that evolution is a lie and you just have two genders. It's not multiple choice.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Flip over to chapter 2, the number 3 thing that I learned from the first 4 chapters of the Bible, and it's the second to last verse in this chapter. We've read the story of the creation. The first few verses of chapter 2 back up and add some more to that. Then we have a depiction of what happens in the Garden of Eden, how there's all the trees. There's a tree of life. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Theoretically, man, had he stayed in the garden, could have still been eating from the tree of life, at least in theory, as long as you had direct access to that. God says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I want you to notice, round about verse 18, God says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him, one that is able to help him and supply his needs. And Adam has named all the animals. If you ever wondered why they're aardvarks, blame Adam. Or hippos, blame Adam. Because God paraded every animal, as it were, in front of Adam, and he assigned them a name. And then there was nothing else that looked like Adam. Also tells me evolution is false. There were no monkeys that Adam said, oh, I could be related to them. That's not how that works. But Adam saw no other Adams, nothing else like him. So God caused him to go to sleep, took a rib, and made woman. And look here in verse 22, brought her unto the man. That idea, brought her under the man, in Hebrew is the same idea we get marriage from today. God joined them together. Notice here, verse 24, here's our third thing I learned. That marriage then is between a man and a woman. Watch this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Who's a candidate there for marriage? A man and a woman. It's not two men and one woman. It's not one man and two women, or whatever trying to kind of organization combo you want to make out of that. It's a mess, dear friends. Yet at the same time, this is what we're faced daily in the world, are we not? They want to say maybe it's two men, maybe it's two women. They want to say maybe you just live together and it'd be fine. It's not fine in God's eyes, dear friends. And I learned this on page 3 in my Bible, that marriage, watch this, one man, one woman, one God for one life. That is God's plan for marriage. In fact, marriage is older than the church by about 2,000 years. God places a special emphasis on the marriage relationship. That's the third thing I learned. Flip over to chapter 3 and verse number 16. The fourth thing that I learned from Scripture, so we start out with chapter 3 then. Serpent comes up and tempts Eve. Why don't you eat of this tree? That's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the one tree that God said do not eat of. She says, I'm not supposed to eat of it or I will die. The serpent says, you will not die. Dear friends, every time the serpent or Satan tries to deceive us, he changes one word. You will not die. Of course, that was her death sentence, a separation between her and God. She eats. She says, Adam, here, eat some of this. It is good. He gives in. They realize they're naked. They try to cover themselves. They hear God walking in the garden. God pronounces a judgment on them. Look at verse number 16. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now the woman gets one verse of difficulties added to her, as I've seen it described. And man gets verse 17, 18, 19, has to work by the sweat of his brow, has to have a hard go, as it were. He's not just going to have everything handed to him. So what do I learn from verse number 16 then? I learn that feminism is a lie. The fact that the woman's supposed to have control over the man, because here I read in verse 16, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." See, dear friends, the way that God has planned it, you have God and you have Christ. It's like an umbrella. And under that umbrella, you have the fathers, the head of the household, then the wife, and then the children. That's God's plan. Boy, I'm just saying a lot of things the world doesn't like, aren't I? Because the world will say, well, I can make my own rules and nobody can tell me what to do, and I can do this and I can do that. And no, you can't. Because God will be the final judge, not you. Not me, not the government, not some leader, not some panel or some organization. God will be the judge, and that's how God set it up to be. And if people don't like it, they can take it up with God themselves, but they're not going to win that argument. God has one plan for the family. Now look here at number 5. We go to chapter number 4 for this. As chapter 3 ends, Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. And there's an angel that guards the gate with a flaming sword that would turn every which way they would go. So man could never go back into the Garden of Eden. In fact, we don't know where it would be today. People have theorized, of course, but we can't go to the Garden of Eden today. Eden, by the way, the same word in Latin you get paradise from. So now they've been kicked out of Eden. They have to start working for their food. And we have Cain, who is born first. We have Abel, his brother, verse 2. Now, Cain and Abel had different jobs. Cain worked the ground. Abel tended to the animals. And God said, I want you to give me the best you have. Look at number 5, verses 3 through 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest well, or doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. He's talking about where sin lieth at the door. It's an idea of self-control. It's almost the idea of, you know, there's a snake on the other side of the door, and you can step over it and get into safety if you want to, or you can stay out and be terrorized. What do I learn from chapter number 4, or point number 5, is that all religious roads don't lead to God. All religious roads don't lead to God. See, dear friends, too many people in the world, they think, well, I want to please God my way, and in doing my way, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And other people say, I want to please God this way, and I'm not going to do what he says or what she says. Two brothers bring two different sacrifices to God. God is pleased with one, and he's not pleased with the other. He's pleased with that firstlings of the flock, that best that Abel had to offer. He is not pleased what Cain has to bring him. So Cain kills his brother Abel and is banished, if you will, and has to live the rest of his life and the rest of human time is going down as being the first murderer. But see, dear friends, I learned that not every road leads you to God. Don't be trying to follow what the world says. It will not get you what you want. Instead, do what is pleasing to God, and every time the entire Bible is filled with examples of people who did what God said, and they were rewarded. It's a simple theory. Do what God says, receive the benefits. 5 simple things from the first 4 chapters of the Bible. Now, I could keep going, and we could find more and more, but I think that will suffice for our time here tonight. But I want us to key in on that final one. Are you going down a different road than that which is prescribed by our Lord? Dear friends, if you're not a Christian, that's a different road. Trying to do things your own way, it won't get you to God. You got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Go down that watery grave, come up a new creature, alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian tonight, quit following other roads and follow the way, John 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.